I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, Omar Abid, and Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram.
Hi.
Hiya.
Hiya.
No Claire today.
I know, I'm looking at this little empty chair across from me.
We decided it was in her best interest that she leave the process at this point.
I know, she was too toxic, so we had a word.
Yeah. No, she's taking a relative to a hospital appointment.
Oh, it makes it sound sad now, we're taking the piss out of her. But she is toxic all round, isn't she?
Yeah, very much so. She didn't even leave us any biscuits or anything.
What a cow.
But she has left us a voice note.
Do you think we should just listen to it now?
Do you want to put it on now?
I don't know.
Yeah, all right, why not?
So keen.
I mean, to be fair, the difference compared to your voice note last week is I kind of suspected yours would be about Brad and Shona, but there's been so much that's happened. I don't know what Claire's going to say.
That's true. Let's have a listen.
You're right, darlings. Accents on voice notes. It's our thing, isn't it? No? Okay. Sorry I can't be there today, so I hope you're not missing me too much. I'll be back on Tuesday. I'll keep it short because I know that there is a lot for you guys to cover today. What a dramatic week on maths. Bloody hellfire was dramatic. So a couple of things that I noticed that annoyed me, I guess, that I wanted to kind of comment on were how different JJ was on the couch and how shocked he was at what Bianca said, even though it seems like we've heard all of that from Bianca before, but the stuff JJ was saying, I don't think we've heard before. I wondered if he was saying what he thought the experts wanted to hear. He had all the maths language down, you know. So yeah, that was quite interesting. I thought JJ was very different on the couch, and then they had quite an awkward exchange afterwards, didn't they? So they're not going along too well this week. But the main thing, I think, really, I know we had the Brad and Shona situation, and you guys will talk about that, and Portia and Terence left, which, by the way, has caused a lot of beef on Instagram. I know Omar and Sarah, you've seen some of that between Portia and Luke, so that's all been very interesting, really adding to the drama. But the main thing, I think, has been the spa day drama. That was out of the blue and quite a shocker. So we saw different sides to Ella and Tasha that we haven't seen before, particularly Tasha, I guess. But I was quite shocked by Ella's comments to Erica of sort of, you know, I'm a girl's girl and I see the best in everyone, and I try to get on with everyone, but you've got bad energy. They were hurtful comments. I really felt for Erica in that moment because it was was very, you know, it's you versus us and we are better than you. You're the reason we're not getting along with you. And that just seemed really harsh and really hurtful. So it's really sad for Erica in that moment. And hopefully, you know, they can make it up maybe when there's not as much Prosecco involved. But yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing the episode and I'll see you all on Tuesday. Bloody hell, fire, it'll be a good one.
So that's it for this week's Math Sister. That's keeping it brief, bloody hell.
Just covering everything. Yeah. Right, should go get a curry.
No, to be fair, I mean, she's right. There's a lot to talk about.
I like her energy. She's got a lot of energy sending a voice note. It's high energy, bad vibes. Yeah. Bloody hellfire.
No, there's, I mean, we've had a chat just before we started recording. How are we going to tackle it?
Well, it's funny, on a Friday episode, we're talking about Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and there's been a dinner party, a commitment ceremony, an unexpected spa day, which felt like try and make couples cheat day. I think we should just go back as far as we can to just quickly go over the dinner party, because that was, zut alors, there was the drama in the French. And luckily I speak fluent franglaise. So if we go back to the dinner party, which does feel like a while ago now, it was almost like George and Peggy versus the world. It was very much, but I think I'm the same as you, Omar. I couldn't quite understand the pure hatred towards George, because even though I myself didn't like him at the beginning because of all his boob chat, he seems like he's mellowed a little bit. But then the group was saying, we don't like your boyfriend, we don't like your boyfriend.
Yeah, like what's he done?
I don't know. Does he kill kittens in his spare time? It's strange because, I mean, I know that they didn't like them both wading in and talking about which couples were just friends and who doesn't deserve to be there. That wasn't very fair.
No.
But it was almost like a lot of it was aimed at George, and he was like a bad influence on Peggy or something.
If he's, again, undoubtedly, there's been times where he's been a prick, namely the wedding day.
Yeah.
With all his boob chat, as you've said.
Yeah.
But since then, I think the biggest criticism we've had of George is that he's been too much
of a yes man.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. There must be stuff we're not seeing. He must give off, I mean, again, like we keep saying, vibes, bad energy, bad vibes. He must give off a bit of a dickish energy, because everybody was saying your boyfriend's just not very nice. And even Ella, like, I feel Ella's quite fair. Ella's quite open. And she was like, sorry, don't like your boyfriend, to Peggy. And then Peggy was put in quite an uncomfortable position, wasn't she? And we've probably all been there, where it's like your friends versus your partner. If there's a bit of drama, who do you side with?
I've not been there.
You've not been there? Okay, fair enough. I've been there like 10 times. Then the heated French argument between Georges and Portia.
Because it never occurred to me that Portia could speak French.
Congolese background.
Exactly, yeah.
And then it was making me laugh because Georges had that white polo neck on, and he looked like Poirot's son or something, didn't he? And it was like he just needed like a little pipe or something, or a little cigar. It was unnecessarily dramatic.
Well, the cause of all these things, as I feel we're going to come back to again and again, is whether you're allowed to give your opinion on people, especially behind their backs. And my position on that is,
you should.
It's a fucking fundamental human right. You shouldn't expect that people aren't going to talk about you behind your back.
What's that saying of like, people are going to talk about you and it's none of your business? Because basically they have opinions of you regardless. I'm sure people listening to this being like, yeah, and we hate you, Sarah, get off the podcast. But I feel like this show is very much geared around, like rightly or wrongly, this show is geared around discussions about relationship, discussions, people are put, like they have to open up about how they're doing, but also they comment on each other. And that's part of the whole premise of the show.
Yeah.
So saying like, take my name out of your mouth and all this sort of like slang, like this talk, this like shit talk that's like about to fight between everybody, but a few people have said that. It feels like, but that's sort of the whole point. I don't know, it's obviously not nice to be talked about, but the show is, or has become, how each couple is doing in comparison to each other,
of
in
course.
Comparison to how they've been before, and talking about how some couples are in the friendship zone. That's natural conversation that people are going to have.
Yeah, of course.
But I can also understand being hurt by hearing that people have been talking behind your back.
What I enjoyed was that, well, not enjoyed, but I thought it was interesting. Yeah, enjoyed. Fuck it. For some reason, Peggy and George were singled out. Peggy's been saying this to us and saying this to that person. But Shona and Laura were part of that conversation as well.
I know, it's very hypocritical. All of it is very hypocritical because everyone talks about everyone. I mean, in fairness, when Portia said, "I've never talked about you, you're boring," I think she said, "You're boring." "I've never talked about you." In fairness, I can't think of an example where Portia has slagged people off. I think she's more concerned with what her and Terence are doing.
The only thing I can remember is when she did her impression of Brad doing the "I see you, I love you," which, you know, Brad's fair game.
Yeah, he is. He's totally fair game. I mean, ultimately, it comes down to, should they be talking about each other? Sort of the premise of the show.
Yes, it is. And especially the reason they were talking about them was because of this spin the bottle party.
Oh, my word. We haven't talked about spin the bottle. I am shooketh. I am absolutely blown away. And it's everybody was playing. It was like Tom and Roz, who seem so like sweet and innocent.
Yeah.
It was Jay and Luke, who seem really solid. I mean, I'm not saying spin the bottle is like a group orgy, but it was just interesting because I wasn't expecting it at all.
Yeah.
And then it's so funny, out of Terence and Portia, little Miss 10 PM yeah. is out partying.
Well, Terence was with his kids.
Was he?
Yeah.
So, because it's so funny, because Terence had himself as this like player out late and Portia are tucked up in bed. And then she's the one out snogging people. And it sounded like there was a lot of like girl on girl, boy on boy.
Yeah.
It was quite open by the sounds of it.
Yeah, which is like, they're all much more.
It's all very 2023.
Yeah. Well, I get it. Drinking game's drinking game. Rules are rules. Once you sit down at the table.
It's all fair game. Yeah. It is. I know that she would have downplayed it to Terence.
Yeah.
And you know that he was hurt. And then it was so funny because she was just trying to quash it. Because she knew if she could get in there first and have it. And it's like, I'm sick of talking about this. Is boring. It's like, yeah, but of course you're going to say that. Yeah. You don't want it brought up again.
She literally, the first time we heard about it, she said, I'm sick of talking about it. I hope no one brings it up. We've only just fucking heard about it 2 minutes ago. She fucking ran over to him when Luke was talking. Luke going like... she kissed like, I don't know, four people. French kissing.
Tongues. Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time since I played Spin the Bottom. Maybe I'm showing my age. But like, what happened to Yahtzee? What happened to Uno? Even Twister. I mean, Twister's can be saucy. But like, I was surprised to hear they've been playing Spin the Bottle. Because
I mean, the Porsche's 36.
I know.
Like,
that's the thing, like, I feel like I'm so naive. This podcast has drawn a light on how naive I am. But you think people are there for the right reasons, or at least some of them. And I am confused why Portia, who had herself as like, loyalty is really important to me. Mm. I will not stand being cheated on.
Mm-hmm.
Having like this like set life of being like a mum and a role model and a bigger, all that. She had all these things set out, and I didn't have her pegged as a spin the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Person where she was going to jeopardize everything, because her and Terence were actually doing really well that week.
Yeah.
And then she basically cheat on him, because if he didn't know it was happening until afterwards, that's not really fair.
Right, this is the perfect segue into a sort of discussion I had with Paul Brunson.
What is
cheating? And when I say sort of discussion, I did a story and he replied to it.
Deep and meaningful.
Yeah. Because he'd said on the programme that you need to set out your boundaries before of what is cheating and what isn't. And logically, that makes sense. But for example, in my marriage with Claire, I wouldn't have thought, like, we met when we were 36, something like that. I wouldn't have thought that I would need to say to her,
don't play spin the bottle.
Don't play spin the bottle. If you sit down at the table, though, game rules are rules. You know, don't sit down at the table then. You know, I didn't think we'd have. But I do get what you're saying.
Yeah.
What, you know, you need to set the boundaries, I guess. But I've just never been in a situation. I thought that's an obvious one.
I know. That's the thing, is like, how explicit do you have to be? I think that's when you can tell if you're well matched with somebody. Because I, for example, would find it cheating if somebody was sending like really emotional texts to someone of the opposite sex saying they had like feelings for them and nothing physical had happened. Mm-hmm. To me, that would still be cheating, because it's like,
right,
you're seeking validation from that person and you're saying you've got feelings for someone. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, there's things where like, no, nothing's involved. And then you could say, on the flip side, spin the bottle means nothing because it is a game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's whoever the bottle lands on. We all know the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just surprised at Portia in particular, with her partner not there. Everyone else, their partner was there. So obviously, like, Jay and Luke might be like, oh, this is fun. We're both playing.
Yes.
It means nothing. But if your partner's not there,
mm-hmm.
it's a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that, like, unwritten, you've not given each other the, like, you know, hall pass or whatever to play.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to get stuck on it because it's so juvenile. But it's, come on, Monopoly Deal is a great game.
Well, this is what Terence was saying at the commitment ceremony. Like, I haven't come here to have drama about spin the bottle and all this sort of stuff. I can't believe that Terence, we spoke at length about his DJ lifestyle.
We thought he'd be the one to be like pushing the boundaries. And then, I mean, I don't want to jump ahead too much, but it did make me laugh at the commitment ceremony.
Because, oh, it was brilliant.
When he was like, I'm sorry, I'm leaving. He said it twice.
No, let's not forget, though, he even said he was leaving after such a sincere and heartfelt speech from Portia. Babe, look at me. Look at me. I can't. It's too hard not to laugh.
She jumped all over the place. I could see how she was blindsided because I think he really downplayed his reaction.
He was wise to do that.
Do you think?
He was
made good TV. So he must have really downplayed his reaction because she was like, are you all right? And he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it comes to the couch and he's not all right, clearly. And she thought she could make him stay. And it was very funny. It was, I mean, I feel harsh, but just being like, I'm sorry, I'm leaving. And the group were like doing these like comedy, like like pantomime gasps. And
well, at first she was going to say, no, I'm going to kind of change my answer. And then, no, you know what, actually, I'm going to make him stay.
And he was like, sorry. But when the rules are, if one person says stay, you both have to stay. The fact that Terence still wanted to leave, it was just so comical the way he did it. He was like, sorry. And he's almost like rubbing his hands together. I'm off. Something in it really tickled me because it was just so ridiculous.
Well, let's jump to the commitment ceremony then. Because I'm sure we'll come back to stuff at the dinner party if there's more stuff to
say. We're going
to
take you with us on this wild ride because our brains are just jumping all over the place because so much has happened this week.
Apart from Portia and Terence, what was the biggest memory for you of through the fog of the last 3 days from the commitment ceremony?
Well, loads of stuff has happened, but one little positive I thought was that, you know, when Roz jumped on Thomas's back and was like, yeehaw!
Yeah.
That must have actually turned into sex.
Yes.
Because then...
Coitus.
Not that I am an absolute pervert, although clearly I am because I bring this up a lot. But then they were saying on the couch that they had sex again and it was obviously a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, wow, that like jokey yeehaw was like actual foreplay. I have no idea. So they seem to be doing quite well.
Yeah, it's good. I'm pleased about that.
Yeah, me too. They seem to be like, and it's really sweet. It's such an example of like, I'm not saying every relationship should start like this, but they've started really like gently and sort of like trying to find their feet a little bit. And yeah, obviously things have gone wrong, but they've pulled it back. If you compare their sort of like tortoise journey to the hair of like Brad and Shona, like rushing and
yes,
then it imploding on itself in quite a drastic sort of way. It feels like Tom and Roz have become the sort of sweethearts of the group and a few people are saying they're actually their favourites.
Yes.
I've really got high hopes for them now because it almost feels like if they can get over the obstacles they've already got over to be at this point,
mm-hmm,
feels relatively strong.
And I remember that we'd speculated in one of our earlier episodes about whether integrating into the group will sort of loosen them up a bit. And it sort of backfired because after we'd said that, they had sex for the first time and it all went wrong.
Yeah.
But now,
too loose.
Yeah. But now they've gotten over it. I mean, it sounds like they were at the spin the bottle party.
I know.
They're getting involved.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I'm quite hopeful. They seem much more relaxed generally.
I think they've proved to each other that they're both in it. They've both said stay every time. He's forgiven her, she's forgiven him for little things and bigger mm-hmm things, and it's just like they're almost like this really satisfying slow burner.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing
and
how it
you
goes.
End up yeah you end up looking forward to seeing them on screen, whereas before it was quite uncomfortable and it was like very much like cousins getting married or something. It was just really uncomfortable, and now there's like a little flirtation there. And if I can jump forward a tiny bit, Thomas standing up for himself was quite attractive.
Yes.
And quite I don't know, there was something about that where he showed a different side of himself. I mean, it wasn't a hugely like attractive side because obviously he was being quite confrontational, but he was standing up for himself. He was standing up for them as a couple. He was almost defending her honor.
Yes.
Without her there, if she's not a liar, I'm not a liar. And it went a bit too far maybe of being like, apologise. Like, his like posh voice, like,
apologise, or I'll thrash you.
I do demand we take this outside. It was like Hugh Grant in Bridget Jones 2 when they like fall through the glass window.
I've actually had someone on Twitter saying that, because I'd commended Thomas for standing up to Arthur. Yeah. He, by the way, right?
I think he was just pissed, wasn't he?
Arthur was shit-faced.
I know, his eyes were facing different directions.
Like, I don't even feel that badly about Arthur saying what he said.
I like Arthur.
The guy's been ill for like 2 or 3 weeks. He's fucking hallucinating.
He's on codeine, everybody. Give him a break.
Smashing some beers and wine or whatever, just sat there at the spa.
But also, what Arthur said had no standing. Like, no. Everybody was on Thomas's side, because what Arthur was saying was, you're lying. But it was like, well, no, they're not, because they've been so honest and so brutally like worked through this, that they're almost the last couple that have lied.
But the thing is, Arthur hasn't even been there to see it, so he's still that's why he kept going, at the start, that's what I thought at the start. It's like, that's all you've seen
now. I know, he kept saying at the start as a trying to like quasi apology. So I think that was an interesting side to Thomas that was actually quite, I don't know, it was just nice to see, because you don't want to think of someone as too mellow
or too
vanilla.
Yeah.
And I think they've showed, they were at the they were at the Spin the Bottle party. Clearly there's like non-vanilla sides to them. I'm making out like Spin the Bottle is like the most sordid game you can play. So going back to the commitment ceremony, I was positive about them. We don't end up seeing loads from Luke and Jay, because I think it's just going all right.
Yeah, well, they were worried that, is it going to last on the outside?
Oh, that was it, yeah.
And Mel was like, shut up.
Yeah, she got quite strict there, didn't she? Yeah. She said, I'm going to stop you there. I think the experts are really like weighing in this season.
Yes.
In a way that I like.
Oh God, sorry.
Yeah, go jump ahead.
Because I think that's what I was going to say before, and we moved on. Charlene holding Portia to account. I'm taking responsibility. I don't think you are,
my darling. No, I loved that. I think as a viewer, I love nothing more than when the experts like weighed in.
Yeah.
And you feel like everyone's getting the vindication. Anyway, so with Jay and Luke, they had a little wobble, didn't they? They were like, it's almost going too well. When's it going to implode? And they did rightly say, I think it was Mel, just enjoy each day as it comes and just relax. Like, every couple has this when they're halfway through the process. Like, we've seen a side to Luke that, and actually potentially Jay as well, where they both can be part of the arguments, part of the drama, get their back up a little bit, but they have each other. They seem sort of, like I've said this before, they're solid in their own bubble.
Yes.
In the group, they can be sort of instigators of a bit of drama.
Well, I just don't know what to make of Luke. I like him. I like him with Jay. He seems quite funny, but I put a tweet up saying, he was telling Brad about what the group were saying about him, and then shortly after that, Shona has this weird conflict with Laura, which I think is going to rumble on. It's not quite been clarified what's going to happen there. Then he was involved in the thing with Terrence and Portia, and you can say, he's telling his mates, and this, but it's just like, always seems to be involved in stuff, and to help your mates and things, but how many... I don't know.
Well, wait and see. But you sort of need characters like that, don't you? Because it's like they tell the truth. You've always got to respect the people who say it exactly. And I do like Luke for this. He said things to Brad's face that he'd said behind his back.
And he
held his point. You know, some people like fumble and go, oh, no, I never. Like Peggy, like, oh, no, I never said that. It's like, well, we just heard you say it on the previous episode. Yeah. But Luke and Jay, Tom and Roz, Paul and Tasha, still going really well on the couch.
Yeah.
But we've seen another side to Tasha.
Yeah. I think.
Well,
let's come back to that. There's more to talk about.
Peggy and George was a really difficult couch session, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because
they didn't even applaud when they went up to the couch. The rest of the cast.
Did they not?
Some of them were giving them the finger.
What?
fucking
oh my gosh, I thought you were being serious. So she was really upset, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And we have to assume there's stuff we haven't seen, because it feels like she is supporting George, but nobody else likes him. Whereas for me, I feel like I'm mellowing to him more and more, whereas the group are hating him more and more.
Yeah.
So we're just not quite seeing... I mean, they're all living together in this block. You don't know what someone's like in the morning. He could be like grumpy as dickhead. I don't know. But the sofa was George saying quite rightly, like, I need to be more we than I, me, more mm-hmm. we than me. And I don't know, think about her feelings more.
To defend Luke, who I was, well, I wasn't, I don't know if I was even criticising him because I don't know, I can't make my mind up with him. Luke did bring up the same issues that George brought up, but from what we could tell, George was still banging on about it and maybe being more aggressive than Luke was. And it's, you know, it needed to be discussed.
The thing is, I was actually grateful to George and Peggy in some respects because they were taking the cheating seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, in terms of, like, the spin the bottle thing was quite shocking to an extent.
Yeah.
And they were the ones, like, bringing it up. Otherwise, it was going to get brushed under the carpet by Portia. But in a way, like, Terence needed to see the group's react. I don't know, there was some parts where George and Peggy were... Oh, I don't know. The problem is, you watch an episode, then there's another episode, and it all changes, and you can't remember what you think. It's like, who do I like? I don't know. Well, I can't remember.
It's hard to get a firm grasp on how you feel, because...
We're being gaslit left, right and centre. Yeah,
the spin the bottle party, it's like... They're all grown-ups. If they've, you know, they've all set their boundaries or whatever with their partner and they've got whatever agreements, fine, that's up to them. But it's just like the number of them that are involved in doing this, it just seems like... how seriously are you taking this process? Because it sounds like something that would happen at university halls.
Or like Love Island or Too Hot to Handle or one of those sort of shows. And it's like, we, the viewer, are made a fool of. We give our autumns and our springs to these people, and we, like, we're at their marriage, we're a guest at their wedding, and then we've bought them like a, you know, gravy boat, and we've been there all along. And then if they choose to snog other people, we are the fool, because we have given so much of our time.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
There's a little bit of that.
You've found childcare to be able to go to.
Exactly, I'm bloody here talking about it.
Is this year... Like, it's the most sexual... Arthur coming out with his foot fetish.
And then everyone was like... There was some snickers and people were like, well, no, that's... like, and then Paul C. Brunson was like, everyone's got their thing. Well done, Arthur. Or whatever. Yeah, it was an interesting
one.
Well done, Arthur. You found your thing. I wasn't expecting that.
She seemed to, like... Laura seemed a bit shocked that he'd...
I think Laura's sometimes, like, she's managing him a little bit of, like, is what he's saying socially acceptable? Is what he's wearing socially acceptable? Is how he's behaving socially acceptable? But, yeah, they seem pretty solid.
They do. I would like to see more of Arthur
so
now because,
I.
again, he's been ill.
He's been absent.
He's
been sniffing feet. And it's given him a terrible illness.
He's got athlete's foot in his mouth.
Gross. Yeah, I'd like to see more from them.
Yeah, last I remember of him, he'd sort of won us over with his redoing the vows on...
Oh, that was ages ago.
Yeah,
that
I know.
Was honeymoon.
No, well, that was like 3 days.
I know.
Geez, that's
oh my gosh.
We're in a time vortex with maths.
Yeah.
Notable by their absence, Shona and Brad.
Yeah, which brings us sort of crashing back down into reality, doesn't it? Because that is, correct me if I'm wrong, that hasn't happened before on maths?
No, I don't think so. The closest I can think of is last year when Matt and Whitney... At the final commitment ceremony, we're on the settee first, and then Matt left.
Yeah. From what I can remember, and I'm a diehard maths fan, I don't think a couple have ever been, like, disinvited or removed from the process or asked to leave, which feels like... I'm pleased that the experts are taking things seriously.
Mm.
But what the fuck has happened? And then especially when Brad himself admitted that they had a really bad argument...
Yes.
And it got hot and heavy. It got, I don't know if it got physical, but it just sounded awful.
Yeah.
And he took, you know, a bit of responsibility that was mostly from him. It must have been really upsetting. And then you wonder who was witness to it. Were any of the producers witness to it or the experts? Because they have been removed from the show.
Yeah.
Like, we can like pussyfoot around it and say, oh, it's for their best. They want them to flourish in the outside world. But they have basically, like, Brad has been removed from the show.
Yeah.
And which means poor Shona has. And,
well, she didn't want to go, did
no,
she? She
course.
Wanted to stay and
get some help from. Yeah, it was.
But I mean, I think that's why Paul was just like being quite blunt of like, this isn't going to work.
This is not like he was like, admit it, guys, this is not working.
Yeah,
and actually, when
she just won't put the fucking pasta in the fridge.
I know, she won't plump the cushions. When you think about it, this whole program is supposed to give people the support they need to improve their like patterns of behavior, build solid relationships, be healthier versions of themselves with expert help. If you're being removed from that process, they're saying your past help in this example. And that's a big thing to say to somebody. Mm-hmm. And I think they're directing it 99% at Brad, if not 100% at Brad, I don't know. But that's a big statement, isn't it, towards someone's character, their behaviour on the show.
Yeah, definitely. But...
We think back to Harrison on the Australian one. He was never removed. His behaviour was sometimes like appalling, but Brad must have gone above and beyond that.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Maybe not. That's my insight.
Okay. can you expand on that?
Yeah. Well,
that's all I'm saying.
It's that with Harrison's perfect example, I was going to use myself. I'd see on our feed people saying, the expert should step in and get rid of him. He's awful. He's gaslighting. Did all the stuff we all know about Harrison. And they didn't. And I don't know if that was, personally, if it was necessary for him to step in, because I'm not quite sure of Bronte's motivations at certain points during that particular series. So I think what they've done here is thought, look, we don't even want to entertain that, even if this argument wasn't as bad as we suspect it was, it's obviously heading down a bad path. Mm. So at the first hint of any potential...
like blow-ups.
Exactly. Or, yeah. Anything that might make the programme, the network look bad, let's remove them. Because there's a point where you have to go, we can't have it both ways. And
we can't be responsible for this.
Yeah, you can't have the entertainment but genuinely put people into a dangerous, mentally unsafe... you know, situation.
I'm glad they did it. I am. I'm glad they did it because it speaks volumes, and it's, you know, lots of young people watch the show. We know lots of older people listen to our podcast. Hi guys. But lots of younger people watch the show. And I, like I said on the last episode, I think it's really important this behaviour's called out. It's displayed for what it is, and it's described for all the red flags that it showed. You know, sorry, I'm not saying this very well, but I think it is basically a positive thing that behaviour was not tolerated, full stop, and it was removed. It's a shame in some respect. Well, it's definitely a shame for Shona, because Shona shined up to the show and has now been put with someone, which means she's lost the whole opportunity and just, I guess, come away with lots of lessons and lots of like heartbreak. But she's an amazing person and I'm sure she'll be fine. But it's just, it's a shame, isn't it? If you're... your whole experience is wrapped around someone else's like toxicity.
Yeah, well, she was clearly very confused. I mean, she said, "I'm confused because there have been toxic moments, but a lot of it hasn't been. A lot of it's been really positive."
But that is that's the calling card of a toxic relationship, where Brad was saying, "But that's love. It's ups, it's downs.
Yeah.
It's these horrible downs where you just want to die. Like, that's not love. Come on.
Yeah.
Love is like a level playing field where you can just relax and you know what to expect. You don't, well, you know, I'm sure everyone listening knows that, but it was odd and quite disturbing to hear them both talk about that just those ups and downs. It's so toxic.
Well, I thought it was interesting that actually Brad had changed tack on what he considers love to be. Because literally last week it was, if there's a slightest bit of friction, it's not for me. The universe has decided that's not right and I walk away. And this week it's a roller coaster with dizzying highs and even worse lows.
But that goes back to what Claire, our absent friend Claire, was saying about how he's... Is that your wife? He's not consistent in his like spiritual goals or his like meditate, like all his thoughts and stuff. He's not consistent. Nothing bothers him, then suddenly everything bothers him. Mm-hmm. Or love is calm and then suddenly love is wild. So yeah, ultimately I think it's a good thing they were removed, and I think it says the right message. But it's just a shame it's how it ended. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was horrible. And you could tell they had to sort of intervene. You know, it was clearly an unplanned thing for them not to come to the commitment ceremony, and then they had to record something with Paul and Mel in their apartment, because it was just all done on the fly kind of.
Yeah. Did you feel like, because when Mel was like, "I hope you take some of these learnings with you," did you feel like that was falling on deaf ears with Brad? Because I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. Have you seen... see, this is where we get into the difficulties of, and I think we're going to come to this later, about how much stuff we see online. Not just us, I mean, because all the cast members seem to be online so much. But in this instance, is a useful thing. Did you see Shona's post that she...
I did. I don't actually follow any of them at the moment because I don't want the spoilers.
Right.
And I don't like seeing like behind the curtain, like the Wizard of Oz. But I did see it and it was very like strong, and she ended with a great line. Do you remember the last line?
Yes, that was enjoy fucking the universe.
Enjoy fucking the universe. That really made me laugh. But yeah, it was a strong one and it was a good one. But yeah, I don't follow... I try and avoid all that as much as possible. Like, we get sent things, don't we, about the show, and it's spoilers and it's people's like talking to camera, the cast as they're watching it happen.
Yeah.
And I don't like all that because I want to watch as like a plain old viewer and have my natural reactions without knowing too much. But it's almost unavoidable for us, isn't it?
It is. Sort of, if we're doing this podcast, we get, you know, it's the nature of the fact that actually the podcast is doing well, which is obviously we're very grateful
thanks
for.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. But also stop sending us shit.
But it's not always these guys. I get served things on like Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. But also, we want to protect you guys, you the listener. Mm. I said to Omar before, I feel like a protective parent. We're like, I found out Father Christmas isn't real. I don't want you guys to find out Father Christmas isn't real. Because we do get sent things and it's like, it's not really fair when you do give so much of your life to watching a program. Mm-hmm. You want to just see it play out organically without knowing, oh, that person's leaving in 6 weeks.
And then you hear stuff from the cast as well, like you say, from their lives and things. Like, I heard someone, which I may or may not mention later, like saying... Well, one was Brad talking about the edit. I'm sick of hearing about the fucking edit. Just take it on the chin, Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? We all know they've moved little things around, but they've not made you into a totally different person. Your response in that situation was your response.
I feel like you're probably clinging to things. If you feel like the world's turning against you, you're going to cling. The edit is one of the only things you can cling to, isn't it? Because you can't say like, oh, it's just my born and bred personality.
On the other hand, though, we do get some juicy gossip. Because did you hear about Terrence and Portia?
I did a little bit, but again, I do try and avoid most of this stuff. But I heard the top line of, was it cutting up clothes?
Yeah, so Terrence came back to his apartment after a commitment ceremony, which I assumed to be the final commitment ceremony. He found that his clothes had been destroyed and his watches had been smashed.
No way!
Yeah, and... Portia denies.
It was a raccoon that let itself in through the window.
Well, Portia denies it. The only people with access to the apartment were Terrence and Portia. Channel 4 have reimbursed Terrence for
good old Channel 4.
All those things. So, you know, obviously we're not making any accusations, but I mean,
goodness me. I think it was that raccoon. Wow. Okay, yeah, no, I saw the top line, but I didn't know about the watches.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So, most of the drama actually happened last night.
Spa day.
The spa day. And I really feel like some of this stuff is orchestrated to create the drama, but then the experts are like, we've done this to see if they like respect and support their partners in the outside world. I'm like, no, you've done this to see who snogs who in the jacuzzi. Lots of stuff happened, didn't it?
Yeah, well, Claire left a note actually, so just with you mentioning the jacuzzi, she was getting a bit put off by all the slow-mo.
Taking off the robes and the little red bikinis.
Sweeping back the wet hair and things
I mean, some of them look bloody amazing, but I feel Well, no, I don't think we've seen this before. Correct me if I'm wrong. Have we seen them split up the groups, girls and boys? Because sometimes we see a girls' night, boys' night.
Yes.
And I love those because you get all the like gossip. But I'm not sure we've seen them split up like mixed groups away from their partners and sent them almost on like group dates.
Yeah.
And given them drinks and given them like half-clad situations. And I feel like they are really setting it up for drama.
Yeah.
Like, let's call a spade a spade.
And then giving them questions as well.
Exactly. And like, who would you... It was like being in like you say, Freshers Week. It's like, who would you snog if you couldn't snog your partner? It's like, of course there's going to be drama. And then I think a lot of people will be talking about the frisson between Ella and JJ.
Yeah, which I don't get.
I do. Don't... I 100% get it because his type is, he keeps saying he likes girls that have had work done.
Oh no, I don't mean that way around. I mean...
Oh, why does she fancy him? Yeah. Well, I can... Yeah, it's not nice to see because you know they've both already been coupled up. So I don't, you know, I don't want them to cheat. But she's not getting any physical affection from Nathaniel.
Mm-hmm.
So she's looking for validation. It's all very textbook. She's looking for validation. JJ's giving it. JJ doesn't fancy Bianca. He's looking to like get his end away. He fancies Ella. So you can see why it's happening.
Why was he so... Go back to the commitment ceremony again. Why was he so confused about what Bianca had said?
I have no idea. Because he's not been listening. He's clearly just been going la 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 la. And she's been saying all the stuff. And then he pretended it was... like a shock when she said on the sofa.
And she goes, I'm sorry. And goes, hey, no, don't have to be sorry. You don't have to be sorry. It seems like she does, but she, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Do you know what pissed me off a little bit? It was like, we've been told that JJ is this big, like, fuck boy, like, everyone fancies him. And I've been like, really? Mm-hmm. But then, when everyone had to pick who they fancied, Erica and Ella both picked him.
Well, that's what I mean.
So he was made out to be this, like, player.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is happening? Have I gone blind?
And it sounds like we're being really harsh on JJ about how he looks and that.
No, he's not unattractive. It's just... he places himself so high above Bianca and into this like echelon of like LA celebs and Victoria's Secret models. And then he's actually proving it to be almost correct because all the girls in the, two of the, I don't know. Oh, I don't know what to say anymore. I feel like such a grandma sometimes, like commenting on people in their 20s and who they fancy. But yeah, there was a lot of sexual tension, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was putting me off.
your ravioli.
Yeah. It was just too much, and it was so blatant. It's like, Ella's going like, "Oh, I don't want to have my head turned." Well, don't fucking turn your head then.
I actually, in Ella's defence, I was pleased when JJ had to pick between Erica and Ella. I don't think Erica needs the validation at the moment. She's got something going on with Jordan, and then I think Ella's feeling quite self-conscious that Nathaniel's not into her, not finding her attractive. So I know that's like not a nice situation, but when JJ had to pick who would he fancy out of Ella and Erica, I am glad he picked Ella.
Right.
And actually, I thought that was quite cool in a way because he knew she was trans and it was absolutely not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, I was like, I had him pegged as a bit of an Essex boy who would have, so I don't know, I was pleased about that.
Yeah, fair enough. But I mean, that's... kind of neither here nor
I know,
there.
I know, I agree. I agree it's neither here nor there, but in a way it was like, oh, this is... Yeah, I liked that Ella was getting a little bit of that, like, attention, adoration that she's been searching for. I don't want them to cheat on their partners, and I don't want Bianca to get hurt. I'm not sure Nathaniel would care.
No.
I really don't think Nathaniel...
He seems more into it now.
Do you? I just don't...
Well, I get... Not really.
I don't think he'd care at all. I mean, like, prove me wrong. I'd love to be proved wrong. Because Ella wants it to work with Nathaniel. And now, obviously, she's like, is her head going to be turned? Yes. Are they going to snog? Probably. Is that going to happen tomorrow? Or next week? Probably. But then, of course, the other drama.
Erica.
Erica and Tasha.
As soon as she came out to the towards the hot tub, Tasha's face just soured.
I think it's two things. I think... sometimes you do just get, you do just dislike somebody and you can't put your finger on why. But you don't, as a grown up, you don't act on it. You're still like nice to them.
Mm-hmm.
And Tasha was acting on it. I had a theory that I was running past Johnny. And it was, Tasha is used to volatile relationships.
Yeah.
She's in a really lovely, calm relationship with Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Does she have all this energy that has nowhere to go where she's like begging for a fight?
Yeah, yeah.
And she's just decided Erica is the nemesis because it feels a bit like she's not getting any of that with Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is lovely, but she needs to put it somewhere.
Yeah,
that's how I felt watching it. I was like, I don't think that she necessarily has a problem with Erica. I think she just needs to fight with somebody.
And the thing is, before like we get into it too deeply, I've said a couple of times on previous episodes that I was expecting to dislike Erica, and I don't know why. There is something about her that is, like when she was in the group and talking, there's something in her mannerisms that are a little condescending, a little patronising. Maybe. I might be reaching a bit, but there's something there that I can see why people take a bit of a dislike to her. But on the whole, she didn't really fucking do anything.
I know. So my theory with that is that society asks women to be attractive, but then punishes them if they know they're attractive.
Right, okay.
So Erica is somebody who knows she's attractive, and she even has said, like, I'm a beautiful... You know, she said, like, I don't know why they don't like me. Maybe it's because I'm confident, maybe because I'm beautiful. So I think she's someone who knows she's attractive and wears it and flaunts it and carries it. Mm-hmm. And then we don't like that in women. Mm-hmm. We don't like that confidence in women. So I think it leaves a weird taste in some people's mouths of like, ooh, she's too confident.
Mm-hmm.
She, do you know what I mean? She has that. Yeah. She walks into the room knowing she's beautiful, which she is. And then I think people want to bring somebody down a peg or two. We want women, I think, as society, to be beautiful, but be humble and not know they're beautiful.
It's definitely a sentiment that's come up online where people are saying she's a bit big-headed, yeah, talking about how good-looking she is.
Yeah.
And like, if I'm honest, she's not as good-looking as I thought she was going to be, if that makes sense.
I think she has probably walked through life with quite a pretty privilege of, like, getting attention and like certain things will come to her more easily than other people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't quite understand, and that's not me defending it because it's not fair how she was treated at all. I couldn't quite see where it was coming from with Tasha. She's just decided that she didn't like
her. It's like, what do you think of the other couples here? And if your first interaction or exposure to the other couples was that dinner party, you would think, yeah, me and Jordan probably are probably one of the strongest ones.
Yeah.
And then
Tasha was like, she's been here 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, but do you need to be there any longer to see that Terrence and Portia are like, everyone's getting off with each other all over the place? It's hardly smacks of stability.
Yeah, no, it was just interesting, wasn't it? Because it became like a match off of who was the best match and who was the worst match. And mm-hmm. it was like this fight between everybody of who was lying about their relationship and who was genuine and who's better suited. And then obviously Tasha and Erica ended up being like the main confrontation.
This is what I was going to say, was the little bit of condescension on Erica's part where she would say about Tasha and Paul that, you know, everyone says you're strong, I haven't seen enough of you.
Yeah.
On paper, and logically that makes sense, but the delivery and everything, there was a little subtext of like, you know, having a bit of a dig.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's totally one-sided, but I definitely think the majority of the blame here falls on Tasha. And doing that thing of, I'm not the only one who said it. There's loads of girls up there. Well, who? I'll let them speak for themselves. That's just classic bullying type thing. Everyone fucking hates you, you know.
I think it was a thing of like closing ranks against the newcomers. A little bit of like, how dare they be doing well? We've been here, we've done the hard work for the last 4 weeks or 3 weeks. We've been putting in all this effort. How dare you swan in and be happy with Jordan? How dare you be attractive and know you're attractive? All that sort of thing. So I think it was like everyone was trying to bring her down a peg or two, which isn't very nice behaviour, but that's what I think they were doing, potentially.
But JJ offered his opinion. Admittedly, he's fairly bland.
Yeah. But he says everything with a sort of like shy smile, which makes him seem like less of a snake. I think JJ's almost got like, I don't know, he's got something about him. He does this sort of, do you know what I mean? Like a sort of shy smile.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And he sort of leans back into himself and it makes him seem less abrasive, where I think Erica is quite confident and it's something that people maybe take the front with. I don't know.
Well, like, for example, again, to talk about some of her mannerisms and thing, doing the shh and then the hand gesture kind of thing.
Horrible.
That would wind people up.
It would
wind me up.
Yeah. The problem is, I just want an easy life, so I would never fight with anyone because I can't be arsed. Yeah. And like, I would just let things slide. And so maybe my boundaries aren't strong enough sometimes. Whereas when I see somebody really stand up for themselves, like even what, like Thomas did with Arthur, mm-hmm. or like Erica and Tasha both felt like they would maybe doing with each other, I'm just like, wow, I just couldn't be bothered to do that. I couldn't be bothered for the fight. I would just sit there and sort of sip my Prosecco and let everybody else
yeah, like, I'm very placid. I'm happy to be drama adjacent, but
I think I would just go home and slag them off behind their backs.
Yeah, the whole, I was surprised about Ella getting involved as well.
With the I whole, know. It was disappointing, wasn't it?
I'm a girl's girl. What the fuck does that mean for a start? And you could, yeah, actually, go on. Well, do you know what that means?
I know, well, because Tasha's 25 and seems quite young in her mannerisms. And Ella feels a lot older, but she's only 29. So she's 4 years older than Tasha. But I have Ella as like a grown-up. Mm-hmm. And Tasha's a little bit more of one of the young'uns.
Right.
So when Ella waded in and was agreeing with Tasha, I was like, oh, that's a bit of a shame. Because now it's like you're ganging up against Erica. Erica needs to be welcomed. She's one of the new people. So yeah, it was a shame. It was a shame that it felt like they were ganging up against Erica. And obviously Erica was left in tears by the end.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are people who are saying that Erica is doing a proper Karen thing where yeah. she's been a bit passive aggressive throughout and it, doing the whole, probably, you know, I don't see it, but everyone says you're a strong couple. And then when
crocodile tears.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the whole thing was just a bit pathetic from every angle. Like, it wasn't really fair to treat Erica like that, but Erica was sort of leaning into it a little bit with how condescending she was being. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just... Drama. Prosecco drama.
The whole, and you alluded to it before as well about all this sort of language of like, you know, getting up as though things are gearing up for a fight, but all that ever actually happens is someone storms out.
I know. It's like, storm out. I know. It's just, maybe I'm just approaching 40 and I just haven't got the energy for it. I haven't got the energy to storm out. My knees have been creaking as I stood up. But give me a minute, everybody. I need to storm out. Let me finish my drink. Yeah, but it does feel like the drama's starting to really amp up, doesn't it?
It does.
Like this week, we've lost Terrence and Portia in a very dramatic way. We've lost Brad and Shona in a very dramatic way.
Yeah.
We've got these newcomers. Ooh, there's new newcomers.
There's new newcomers.
That I forgot about.
Yeah.
So we've got more people to learn.
Yeah, there's going to be, I think there's going to be same-sex couple.
Yeah. You know when you're starting a new book and you take a deep breath because you're like, oh, I've got to learn all these characters. You know when you like can't be asked to start on page one. I'm like, oh, I've got more people coming in. I've got to try and remember their names.
I wonder, you know, I'm genuinely thinking, is it because have they brought in so, it feels like a lot of newcomers.
So many.
And it feels, but they're quite staggered. I wonder if it's because this next commitment ceremony, which I don't know if there's going to be a commitment ceremony next week.
Why would there not be?
Because I think there's going to be newcomers.
Honeymoons and stuff.
Yeah, all that sort of business. I think it's going to end with a dinner party. Okay. I wonder if the next commitment ceremony is going to be bloodshed.
It's like Game of Thrones, yeah, red wedding.
Exactly. We're going to lose half your favourite characters
well,
talking
that's the
about
thing. You can't get you can't get attached to anyone. Not that I have. Give or take. No, I just, it's absolute carnage, isn't it? It's absolute carnage. We love it. Right, so I think we've covered everything. We came into this episode just with so much buzzing around our heads, but there's just been so much drama. So make sure you tune in on Tuesday. We'll have more to say from Monday night's episode. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Maths Hysteria, and we will try and help you next Tuesday work out who these new couples are. We've got more new people coming, and I'm just like, I can't keep up.
So until then, goodbye from me, Omar Abid.
Goodbye from me, Sarah Clark. Bye from me, Claire.
And until Tuesday, we're going to leave the process for our own best interests.
Absolutely. Put us in a cold, dark room.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.